Time is 8:07. Currently, partly cloudy skies, 53 degrees at our studios on East Wausau Avenue in Wausau. I'm Chad Holmes, and welcome to the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Coming up between now and 10 a.m., in about, 7.5 minutes or so, we'll be joined by Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. That can be heard right before this program on Bow Falls Radio and the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll talk about what's been a very busy week in Madison. It's got the feeling of taking your medicine, in a sense. Some of these votes that are being taken concerning funding for schools, shared revenue, and other aspects of the continuing budget process. So we'll talk about it with Pat Kreitlow coming up at 8:15. Coming up in hour number two of the program, I will be joined by Mike Clemens, Civic Media Sports Reporter. You just heard Mike every morning right before we start the show off. We have 6 minutes of Wisconsin news and sports, and Mike had the sports report. Mike has been in Green Bay. It is minicamp time for the Green Bay Packers, and today the Packer minicamp will come to an end, the final time the team will be together prior to the start of training camp next month. It is almost time. Once you get into July, folks start to focus almost completely when it comes to sports in Wisconsin on the Green Bay Packers. And it's going to be a different look, Green Bay Packers, in 2023. We're going to talk to Mike Clemens about what he's seen in Titletown at the minicamp and the final, say, dress rehearsals before the start of the 2023 season for the Green Bay Packers. Mike Clemens will be with us at 9:33 this morning, so part of the second hour of the program. So, again, Pat Kreitlow coming up at 8:15, Mike Clemens at 9:33 here on this edition of the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. We are going to talk significantly with Pat Kreitlow about these votes that are being taken this week in Madison. Step by step, as different aspects of the state budget being passed yesterday, Wisconsin lawmakers voted on in the Wisconsin State Senate the shared revenue bill. And the thing about it, we're going to give more details. Number one, it is bipartisan. You had more than a handful of Republicans voting against it. You had more than a handful of Democrats voting for it. But the aspect about it that is a little bit concerning to me is all these hurdles, again, that are being put into these bills from the Republicans. Local control has been such a major goal of conservatives for many years. But now that they are in charge in Madison, they put all these handcuffs on local officials in terms of how they can spend their money. It's hard enough right now for local officials to be able to put their budgets together, to be able to do the things that their constituents expect them to do. And the idea that now finally we're going to get a little bit more in terms of the shared revenue program in the state of Wisconsin that's been needed for many years. The state of Wisconsin has fallen so far behind when it comes to shared revenue. And now to add all of these hurdles in terms of local governments needing to do this, 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 and this in order to get a little bit more funding from Madison. And when you hear some of the comments being made, especially by the Democrats in Madison when they're voting on this, that, yeah, there's some things we like, there are some things that we hate. We just heard a soundbite in the top of the hour newscast in terms of how difficult some of these votes are. In fact, we're going to have a chance to go a little deeper into this tomorrow, because tomorrow we'll be joined by State Representative Katrina Shankland. I want to talk to Representative Shankland about these votes in terms of what is good, what is not good. How difficult are the decisions right now during this process where, as a Democrat, a part of a rather significant minority in Madison, you got a governor who's able to negotiate, but you also have Republicans with two-thirds majorities, basically. So Katrina Shankland will be joining us in the second hour of tomorrow's program, and this will be one of the topics that we discuss. But coming up later, I'm going to go deeper into this in terms of what is there, what is not there in some of these votes. And again, it's about, I think, giving tools to local governments and also tools to the average person. We want to be able to allow hardworking folks in this state to be able to have the tools to move up on the economic ladder, on the social ladder in the state of Wisconsin. The budget, again, I've said this before, is a look at priorities. What are the priorities when it comes to what we're doing here in the state of Wisconsin? So we'll talk more about that coming up a little bit later in the program. We'll touch on it as well coming up next, because after we take a quick two-minute break, we'll be joined by Pat Kreitlow. Of course, Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News that you hear each and every weekday morning from 6 till 8 a.m. So Pat Kreitlow coming up next as we continue on this Thursday edition of the Chat Home Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230 WXCO. Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, WXCO. Bull Falls Radio, BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. One of my favorite songs. Talking Heads, Once in a Lifetime. Of course, David Byrne, lead vocalist for the Talking Heads. I don't know if you saw it, but last night, actually, I watched on YouTube an interview that was on 60 Minutes last Sunday night with David Byrne. Anderson Cooper interviewed David Byrne for 60 Minutes. Just an incredibly interesting man, a man that has done it his way for more than four decades. Of course, had the great success with the Talking Heads starting in the late 1970s into the 1980s. Then he left the band and has gone on to incredible success in different genres of music over the years. And in fact, had a huge Broadway hit just a couple of years ago with American Utopia. But just a very interesting guy. I would encourage you, if you have not seen that interview, David Byrne with Anderson Cooper on 60 Minutes, check it out. It's on the 60 Minutes YouTube page. I'm sure it can be found on the 60 Minutes website as well. The time is 8:18, mostly cloudy skies. Chilly start here. It's going to be a chilly Thursday here in central Wisconsin. Temperature at 53 degrees. High temperature expected to reach around 68. And I have no problem with that. In fact, I would like it to stay at this level as long as it possibly could. But over the weekend, in fact, on Saturday, I'm going to a wedding. And I like to dress to the nines for a wedding. I want to look good. I think it's a sign of respect. And you don't get a chance. I think if you dress up sometimes in this era, it feels like people look at you. Why are you dressed up? Got a job interview? I mean, you get those questions all the time. But for a wedding, love to dress up. But we wear a suit on Saturday, and the temperatures are expected to warm up, get into the lower to middle 80s on Saturday and Sunday, in fact. So it's a double-edged sword. I'm going to look good, but also I feel like I'm going to be probably sweating through that suit as well on Saturday. But we will have a complete look at your forecast for the end of the work week and into the weekend when we are joined by weatherology meteorologist Jennifer Vucicki coming up at 9:06 this morning here on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 12:30. Unfortunately, at this point, having a few technical issues in terms of getting together with Pat Kreitler. Hoping that we'll get together with Pat here in just a moment or two. So we're going to keep keeping an eye on it. We've tried to make it audible here in terms of instead of trying to use the technology of Zoom to get Pat on the air, going to try to go through the phone line. So we're going to hopefully get Pat Kreitler on here in just a few moments. Going through again some technical issues as we're very, very close to moving, and we're really looking forward to it. We've been WXCO Radio has been here on the east side of Wausau on Highway 52, East Wausau Avenue, for many, many, many years, decades, in fact. I think it's been here since, I think, the 1950s, if I'm not mistaken. And obviously, there are no parts that are to be desired in terms of, you know, a very, very old facility. But still, I've been here for many, many years myself. So again, there's a sentimental value, I think, in being here on East Wausau Avenue. But we are going to go downtown. In fact, we're really looking forward to this. It'll be very interesting because I'm sure that you've seen on whether it's the Today Show and other morning shows over the years, the chance to look through a window and see what's going on. In fact, our new downtown studios, when we're moved in, and the hope is sometime early next month, that I'll be on the air. And you'll be able to walk downtown, look through the window, and see me on the air, see my guest as well. And I'm not so sure how much I'm going to enjoy that, but that's the way it's going to be. I just hope that nobody, when we get to the winter, is throwing snowballs at the windows or anything like that. But we're really looking forward to moving downtown in Wausau, our studios. In fact, our studios, we're already renting it. If you walk downtown, it's the old Diamond Showcase, about a block from the old mall. There are lights in the windows, say 98.9, 1230 WXCO. And you look in there, and there's nobody in there, because there is nobody in there. I'm still over here on East Wausau Avenue. But that's where we'll be, and we'll be broadcasting from downtown coming up, hopefully sometime next month. In a couple of weeks, I was talking to my boss earlier in the week, and we were discussing, you know, some of the issues going on right now. And one of the things he mentioned to me is the hope is that when I get back from my vacation, I'm taking a vacation in a couple of weeks. So not next week, but the week after, I'll be gone for a week. Give you a break from me for a week. But then when I come back first week of July, hopefully slightly after that, we'll be moving downtown. So again, that's something that we're really looking forward to doing. We've talked this week about the growth within this organization, Pacific Media. And we've been adding news folks, and I hope you've really enjoyed the new news updates we have. Again, at 8 a.m., at 12 noon, and at 5 o'clock, supersized news from Wisconsin and from the area. We have Luke Mathers, who does our statewide news update at 8 o'clock, 3 minutes of statewide news. Then Brittany Merlot comes in at 8:04, has the North Central Wisconsin news from Civic Media that's focused here on our area. And then, of course, Mike Clemens from 8:04 to 8:06 with a sports report coming up at 12 noon. If you haven't tuned in yet, We have Town Call. Town Call, really a terrific program. It starts off with complete news. Our news team from around the state. You get news from each of our areas that are covered by Civic Media, which now basically is the state of Wisconsin. So you get the start of the 12 noon hour. It's about, man, I think it's about 13 minutes straight of news, if I'm not mistaken. Been listening to it, been very well informed. And then after that, it's Town Call with roundtable discussions of the news headlines, including your calls. And it's one thing that we're really excited about is terms of trying to get your voice on there. And I'm trying to do that as well here. And especially when we move into our new studios with the technology upgrade, it's going to be a much easier in terms of making sure that your voice is heard. But even now, if you have something that you want to talk about, if there's a story that you want to hit on when it comes to what's going on in Wisconsin news, even sports. I mean, obviously, I got the sports background as well. Feel free to always call in. Our studio line is 715-298-1248. Again, 715-298-1248. Going to be talking again about this double-edged sword that is some of the deals that have been made in terms of the state budget. And now we're seeing votes on it this week. It's been a busy week down in Madison, passing the shared revenue bill in the Senate yesterday, passing the funding to the schools earlier in the week as well. And there's been a lot of hand-wringing. And I was going, you know, through different websites and getting different story ideas last night and getting prepared for today's program. And seeing some of the quotes, it really is interesting that there is a lot of angst right now with some members of the Democratic caucus in Madison, that understanding that in a situation like this, that compromise is a must, because you're not going to get what you want when you have a split government, especially when you have a split government where even if you're able to get a couple of votes or a handful of votes or even more than that from the Republican caucus, you're still not going to have enough votes to pass your priorities. So what you can do now is use the threat of a governor's veto. Use the idea that you do have the governor that is a major voice in this process. But in the end, you're not going to get what you want. And again, we're going to discuss here in just a few minutes some of the specifics of what's been voted on and passed by the Senate here in just a few minutes. But there is a real, I think, angst going on as we continue to find, I think, more and more about it. Because I think in the last week or so, when the word came down that there was a deal between the governor and the leadership of the state assembly, Robin Voss, and the state senate, Devin Lemahue, there was, I think, a lot of, you know, happiness for it, because we want to take steps forward. And especially with the issues going on in the city of Milwaukee, because early last week we were hearing Robin Voss basically say, well, we're going to strip everything from these bills that involve Milwaukee, because we're not going to be, you know, being held, you know, hostage by the city of Milwaukee's problems, when basically what he was doing was holding the city of Milwaukee hostage and also the state Democratic caucus, because obviously the governor and members of the state caucus of Democrats were looking at trying to help the city of Milwaukee, who has been basically used as a punching bag by the Republicans over the past 12 to 15 years, especially since Scott Walker came into office, which was, again, ironic, because Scott Walker, a guy that served as the Milwaukee County executive before coming to the gubernatorial mansion. But again, I just found, looking at a lot of the stories last night, there is a real angst within the Democratic caucus. So we're going to kind of delve into that. And I get a sense right now the Republicans feel like they're getting a bit of the edge in terms of these negotiations. Going to talk about that, get your opinion on that as well as we continue. We need to take a quick timeout. We'll come back. We'll have a bottom of the hour news update. CBS News at the top of the, excuse me, at the bottom of the hour. Brittany Merlot will be back with a Civic Media news update as well. And then we're going to kind of delve in a little bit deeper in terms of what has been passed, what has been agreed to involving the state budget, and also what can we expect coming up next. Is this all a lead up to that massive tax cut for the wealthy that the Republicans have talked about? The idea of a flat tax or something similar to a flat tax in all, you know, how it's implemented. So we will talk about that coming up. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show. Again, we will be joined by Mike Clemens. Talk about Packer minicamp coming up in hour number two at 8:33. More to come here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app.
Life was so wonderful, a miracle. Oh, it was beautiful, magical. And all the birds in the trees, they'd be singing so happily. Oh, joyfully, oh, playfully, watching me. But then they sent me away.
Chad Holmes back with you on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and of course on the Civic Media app. Well, got some good news. We do have Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News, with Pat Kreitlow each and every weekday from 6 until 8 a.m. right here on Bull Falls Radio and the Civic Media Radio Network. And great to have Pat back on the program. Pat, good morning.
What a doofus. I am so sorry. You know, what every host dreads is a guest who either the link doesn't work or they didn't get it, or in my case, I forgot to carry over last week's. I forgot to check the little box that says recurs weekly. And so there I am just editing a video from last night's session of the legislature on the revenue sharing bill. I finished the video. I'm so proud of myself. I go check my email, and there's this big old SOS on there, and you know that feeling in the pit of your stomach. And so, again, please accept my apologies for what I'm sure was making you tap dance a lot like Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck on the old cartoons.
I think I handled it, and it keeps me sharp. That's the good thing. You know, sometimes you got to get that adrenaline going early in the morning and that.
Well, or you get a guest like our guest for Hometown Health this week. You know, came in just under the wire. Or actually, no, came in after the segment had started. And Dr. Kristen Lyerly and I were just kind of chatting away, not sure if our guests would join us or not, but ultimately they did. So, you know, just more adventures in live radio. Ain't nothing like it.
I'll tell you real quick here. Yesterday, I had a guest was coming in, and about 2 minutes right before my break started, all of a sudden the doorbell rings. I'm thinking, why is the doorbell ringing? Because number one, I had left the door open. So I go over there, and it wasn't my guest. It was actually a person from the Wausau Fire Department doing an inspection on our fire extinguisher. So he did it real quickly. He left. He must have locked the door because then my guest came in, and then I'm on the air. I'm thinking, well, where's Sean? Where's Sean? And all of a sudden, I check my email. I came by and the door was locked. I'm sorry if that causes a problem. I'm like, oh no! And then for the next 10 minutes, I did some tap dancing. So,
here's my TV version of that. We had a weekend. I was weekend anchor, and our producer was told that, you know, that this particular member of Congress was passing through Eau Claire, but was going to come in really close to news time. So, you know, you'll hear a knock at the door. And sure enough, while the newscast is in progress, there's this knock. The producer goes and opens up the door. It's raining outside. And this person says, I'm here for the show. And the producer says, and you are? And this member of Congress got so upset that he turned and went back to his car at the end. And you are?
Oh,
and
you don't
so
know
needless what? To say, On the newsroom bulletin board the next day, there was a picture of a picture of the member of Congress, and of course a picture, you know, not an actual photograph, of course, but of Jesus Christ. And the note below said, if either one of these people show up at your door, let them in.
Exactly right. You mentioned you were working on some video editing on what's been going on this week. It's been a busy week, obviously, with the votes in the state legislature. And I get a sense there's a lot of tension right now, on especially on the Democratic side, in terms of what's being passed. I think there was a sense of relief a week ago when the word came out that there was deals between the governor and the leading Republicans in the state legislature. And now that we're seeing some of the details, both in terms of school funding and basically all these rules that are being put in when it comes to the shared revenue, I've seen tweets from Senate Democrats. Chris Larson last night, I was going through some websites, and then I came across a quote from him talking about how public schools have been sacrificed, how Tony Evers, who's shockingly a teacher himself, agreed to this. What's your take right now? Because it does feel like there's almost a sense out there that maybe the Republicans have gotten a lot of what they wanted and maybe not quite as much in terms of what the Democrats wanted in this so-called compromise.
Well, it isn't so much the basis of the compromise. It's what else got put on it that rubbed so many people the wrong way. Because, look, when Tony Evers won a second term as governor, we knew there was going to be split government, and that the most likely outcome was going to be that in return for increased funding for public schools, Governor Evers would have to accept increased funding for voucher schools, which was made more palatable by the fact that we have a nearly $7 billion surplus. That also, that surplus, means that we can have a second bill that increases the amount of shared revenue, revenue shared by the state, with cities, counties, towns, and villages. All of that sounds good. All of it sounds like a necessary compromise. Where it got a little more, contentious is when, naughty word alert here, but Republicans, frankly, in the minds of many people, got a little dickish. And added to that, things like micromanaging what schools could do with the money, what cities could do with the money, and putting things in like penalizing cities for having what's called diversity, equity, and inclusion offices and positions. And Democrats and others were rightly saying, why? Why did you have to go there? Why did you have to bring your latest culture war thing, like your phony war on CRT, why did you have to bring that into a debate like this, along with all the other strings that were attached, like requiring a referendum or a two-thirds vote before Milwaukee could, raise its sales tax? And Robin Voss, the Assembly Speaker, Republican, said before the Assembly session that liberals want race, color, and gender to be part of everything and almost mandated for what people should believe. It's not right to use taxpayer dollars to push one ideology over another. And I just rightly asked, what ideology are we talking about, Speaker Voss? That racism is bad? That's what you're so upset about, that's being funded and fought? And it was that and the other strings attached that just made what should have been a very positive bipartisan deal a little more, well, much more contentious than necessary because of all of the various additions that came on what otherwise would have been a pretty basic compromise.
I agree 100%. And you hear the term poison pill. This appears there's a lot of poison pills that were put in into these agreements. And continuing on Representative Voss, he talks about trying to push an agenda with tax dollars and within the budget. Isn't that exactly what he's doing when in this era of a big budget surplus, he is actually proposing to cut the budget of the University of Wisconsin system? And I will add that his colleagues in the Senate are very, very loath to agree with him, at least what I heard yesterday. But the idea that he is really riding this DEI horse as hard as he possibly can, isn't he?
Oh, very much. And one of his other comments was that, all of this work toward a more diverse and inclusive society, he called it, quote, the left's new religion. They no longer go to church on Sunday, but boy, are they trying to make sure everybody is evangelized, that there's only one acceptable viewpoint. And again, I ask Speaker Voss, what is that one acceptable viewpoint never mind the insult about church on Sunday coming from the, you know, thrice married Speaker of the Assembly. But again, why do you feel like this DEI, CRT, teaching an honest view of American history and current events, why does that strike you as bad? And it just gets to the point of that silly talking point of people saying that they are, you know, when they hear a full accounting of history, it makes them ashamed to be white. And I thought, are you kidding me? Are you really letting something from history affect your feelings about the present? That's not what it's there for. And frankly, I think there's a more, you know, nefarious agenda at place.
Well, again, I agree. Again, we're talking to Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News, weekday mornings from 6 until 8 a.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network and here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Bottom line is, as well, did Milwaukee get the tools they need? Because it's obviously a very difficult time in that city. I think the way that the leadership in Milwaukee has handled the whole situation, where there had to have been frustration with some of the games that have been being played by Robin Voss and others within the negotiations to get to this point. Did Milwaukee get what they needed? Because obviously, thinking this big picture for the state of Wisconsin, we cannot afford to have our biggest city be in the situation that it is in. And they need the tools to be able to try to get out of a very difficult financial issue. Did they get the tools that they need?
They got what I would contend is pretty much the bare minimum, and legislators made that clear in their remarks, far short of what could have been done with a record budget surplus. And you have to remember, how did we get to this place in the first place? And it's because the state, the shared revenue back to local governments, has been stagnant for more than 20 years, has not kept up with inflation. And so as local governments like Milwaukee have to make an annual pension contribution, and while other costs go up, state aid stayed flat. In other words, if state legislators had merely done their job all these years, the local budgets would be in good shape. The city of Milwaukee could fund its pension and provide essential services, but instead, Republicans now get to look like they're riding to the rescue for Milwaukee of a problem that they, the legislature, helped create. So now they're getting a boost. The new employees for the city will be folded into the state pension plan instead, which is a good thing. It's a very, very healthy, nationally reputable pension plan. But and the city and county will be able to, you know, invoke a sales tax. But that just gets us to the point of, again, why are we always talking about raising local sales taxes, which are so regressive? We're doing that because we don't have the spinal fortitude to have an income tax system that stops favoring the wealthiest corporations and households. And that's simply the way that things are going to stay here until there are some significant changes made in you know, the legislature. How did Chris Sinicki from Milwaukee had a great quote on it, saying that, we are stuck in this never-ending hell of unconstitutional maps, but we will accept this deal and live to fight another day.
Piggybacking on what you had just said a moment ago about, you know, having to use a regressive sales tax in order to try to help the city of Milwaukee to get out of, again, some very difficult financial issues because they've been left behind by the state over more than a decade. We are seeing the process of this entire two-year state budget step by step. Is this leading to the next step where the Republicans have already talked about a flat tax or major tax cuts for the most wealthy in our state? Is all of this leading to that? Because we have not got to that point yet where their flat tax idea or their tax reform ideas have been either passed or voted on. Is that one of the next steps we have to keep an eye on? Do we have to gird ourselves, I guess, for that news coming down the pike?
Well, let's be clear. That is exactly the bill that would have already been voted on had Tim Michaels won the governor's race. They absolutely would have pushed that through so quickly. Again, another massive giveaway to corporations and the very wealthy, with the message to locals, look, because Governor Evers got elected, we're having this compromise that increases shared revenue to local governments. no chance that would have happened in the world where Tim Michaels is elected. There would be a flat tax. Shared revenue would be cut even further, and local governments would be told to privatize more services, combine more services. People would see less and less for their tax dollar. That's exactly what we would have received, and you would receive it again if you know, the governor were to, you know, not be in office, you know, 4 years from now, if a Republican were to take over or he were to lose, which is why I was glad at the state Democratic convention over the weekend, Governor Evers said, well, you can call me two-term Tony. You might, maybe you can call me three-term Tony. And the crowd roared because they know he is the thing that's stopping things like a flat tax from happening to our state.
And finally, just to get back on education, because it, obviously I spend a lot of time around the schools around here, and it feels as though, again, you talk about doing the minimum for Milwaukee. It feels like when you look at the school funding, again, it's the minimum. Because why I brought up the tax issue is because it feels like they are leaving a lot of the surplus money available for their tax cuts. And it feels as though, again, that the public schools, they did get more. And obviously, the governor, as part of this deal, is touting that. But others are rightly saying that in terms of what is ultimately needed when the schools have been left behind for more than a decade since the Walker Revolution began. Again, the tools that we need as a people, I think one of the baselines or bedrocks of our country is the opportunity to move up the socioeconomic ladder. And one of the tools is education. And whether it's the University of Wisconsin system or our public school system, that is one of the great ladders in terms of going up the economic system. When you look at 33% increase on the voucher side, the amount of money that goes there is reason to be, you know, yes, the idea of needing to compromise. But at the same time, it just feels like the vouchers got a disproportionate part of the win in that. Would you agree or disagree with that?
Oh, no, I completely agree. When you look at the numbers, that this does, again, truly mean. At first, some folks might have said it was hyperbole, but with this deal, it becomes more true than before and more true than ever that Wisconsin taxpayers, whether they know it or not, are paying for two parallel school systems in the state. What started as a quaint little experiment in the city of Milwaukee has metastasized, as I said on my show, to the point that it truly threatens the health of more rural and mid-sized school districts across the state.
Pat Kreitlow, again, you can tune in to Pat each and every weekday morning from 6 until 8 a.m. right here on Bow Falls Radio. Pat, again, glad you could spend a few minutes with us. Always enjoy being with you on Tuesdays, but again, enjoy the rest of your Thursday, and we'll talk again next week.
I will be on time next week. Thank you so much.
Again, that's Pat Kreitlow. We'll come back, have more. I'm Chad Holmes. It is Thursday. 53 degrees here in central Wisconsin. More to come on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.
Fight to make ends meet, keeps a man up on his feet.
Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Again, thanks to Pat Kreitlow for joining us. Coming up in the next hour at 9:33, we'll be joined by Mike Clemens, Civic Media sports reporter. He's been at the Green Bay Packer minicamp this week. Today is the final day of the Packer minicamp, final time that the Packers will be together prior to the start of training camp next month in front of the 2023 season. Talking sports, Milwaukee Brewers, they have now lost six games in a row. And, and again, the Brewers are not really losing any ground in terms of first place in the NL Central, but a few of the teams below them are starting to climb up just a little bit. But the Brewers fell to the Minnesota Twins yesterday by a score of 4-2. So the Crew, losers of six in a row.
But the Pirates lost again. They lost to the Chicago Cubs. So that means Pittsburgh still has just a one-game lead over the Brewers in the NL Central. Pittsburgh is coming to Milwaukee in American Family Field this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, for a significant early season battle for first place in the NL Central. Brewers are off today. Thing is, the Brewers losers are 6-0. The Cincinnati Reds are now just one half game behind Milwaukee. The Reds have won 5 games in a row. So in the last 5 games, Cincinnati has picked up 5 games on the Brewers. I mean, you talk about one team going in one direction, the other going in the other. But again, Pittsburgh by 1 over the Crew, 1.5 over the Cincinnati Reds. Also, I mentioned the Twins beating the Brewers twice in a row. The central divisions of both the American League and the National League are not good. Not good at all. You got Pittsburgh and Milwaukee barely over 500 in the NL Central. Everybody else is under 500. Actually, the Brewers, I think, are down to 500, if I'm not mistaken. So you got Pittsburgh, who is just the only team above 500 now in the NL Central. In the AL Central, the Twins are the only game, the only team over 500, and they were under 500 until they played the Brewers these last couple of games. So it's really amazing. The middle of the country, the central divisions in Major League Baseball are not good so far this season. Also, we have state baseball tournament going on. Actually, we got our phone line. Our studio line is ringing. First of all, would you like to be on the air?
No, I'm calling for Chad.
Oh, could you call back after 8 o'clock? We're on the doing my program right now. Could you call back after 8 o'clock, please?
After 9 o'clock, you mean?
You can call. Between 9 and 9:05. That'd be great.
Okay, sounds good.
You bet. Thank you. Again, I mentioned in the last hour, we're still here in our studios on East Wausau Avenue. Technologically, we are we're not at the cutting edge at this point. We will be at the cutting edge once we get into our downtown studios. This will be a complete rebuild, and we're looking forward to that. Live radio, folks, live radio. But again, state baseball tournament wrapping up today. State championship games getting underway in just a few minutes in Division 4. But yesterday, the Wisconsin Valley Conference champion, Stevens Point Panthers, they had a rough one. It was a great season for Stevens Point, but boy, you hate to end it like this, because Stevens Point, they had won 26 of their first 27 games this season, and they lost in the Division I semifinals to Whitefish Bay 17-0 in 5 innings. Ugh! Again, it doesn't take away all the success that Stevens Point had all year long, but man, it's got a sting to fall in a state semifinal where it just all goes sideways. So Spash finishes 26-2 after that 17-0 loss to Whitefish Bay. Whitefish Bay tonight will take on Hortonville in the D1 state championship game. Hortonville defeated Franklin by a score of 4-1 last night. The Division 4 championship game getting underway in just about 3 minutes. Ithaca against Pecatonica. Ithaca, of course, had knocked off Edgar from the Marrowwood Conference South in extra innings on Tuesday by a score of 4-3. The Division 3 state championship coming up at 12 noon today. St. Croix Falls, who had eliminated Marathon in the sectional championship game last week, St. Croix Falls takes on Aquinas. St. Croix Falls 26-3, Aquinas is 24-2. And then at 3 o'clock this afternoon, the Division II state championship game between St. Thomas More 27-2 and Denmark 29-2. So 4 state championship games, and that will be the official end of the 2022-2023 high school sports season. And as you probably well know, I've done a lot of high school sports in the past 10 months or so, but it was a fantastic year covering Wausau West, Newman Catholic, and Marathon here on Bull Falls Radio. And the good news is we're just 2 months away. In fact, 2 months and 2 days away from the kickoff of the new high school sports season, opening night of the high school football season on August the 17th. Coming up, we will have CBS News at the top of the hour, then coming back with hour number 2 of the program. I'm Chad Holmes. Again, glad you could join me. Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app.